Hey everyone, Gina Kaufman here, talking to you live from one of my favorite Kansas City landmarks, the Pavilion at Swope Park. This park is about to be the hub of a giant arts festival. Over the next 62 days, something like 200 artists are putting on exhibits, performances, and workshops all over town, and a temporary village they're building here is at the heart of it. I'm looking at it now. I see, well, honestly, it's still mostly grass and trees. More on that in a second. Today on KCUR Central Standard, you'll get a first glimpse of open spaces live from Swope Park, and we'll hear from people in the know about the artists and performances to look out for. So let's start with Kelly O'Neill Wenzel. Hi, Kelly.
Oh.
So Kelly is one of the people who's been running around behind the scenes to turn this vast expanse of park into an artist's village. And Kelly, how are you feeling at this stage, one day before the grand opening?
I'm actually thrilled that we're finally here. It's been a year and a half of planning, and it is a massive undertaking. I do a lot of events and festivals in the city, and I have to say this one is like nothing I've ever seen.
What is the difference?
The difference is so many moving parts. The fact that we have the 40 installations happening all over the city, the fact that we have this village here, and we have the big weekend and Starlight. So having lots of venues is new to me in my career, but it's been eye-opening and exciting, and I feel really, really good looking at this pretty day that we're sitting here with the breeze.
Yeah,
and this beautiful pavilion.
It is gorgeous.
Yeah.
But what, so point out to me where the village is or will be, because I don't see a whole, I expected to see something so different from usual, and it still looks pretty parky.
Yeah, well, the beautiful part is that it is going to be under the pavilion. We've had to make some adjustments in the world of events. You always have to see what you have, and obviously these rain kind of made some adjustments, so we kind of switched some stuff around, and actually I'm really happy with where we're landed. But what we've got here is HOK and Populous, two architects firms, really helped us kind of give us some added fun to the area, and Populous came up with the concept of putting these ribbons around with bright colors, and if you've seen our brand with open spaces, you see the bright colors, and kind of created an intimate space, and we have the stage underneath the
pavilion. I'm just going to explain what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. There are orange, yellow, green, and blue giant ribbons that are woven through the columns of the pavilion.
Correct.
And so it almost walls it off in a way, but not so that you can't see out into the park. You're still in the open air, but it's just somewhat enclosed.
Yeah, and it gives it color. You can see this pavilion from a lot of places, but now you really can see this from, you know, a good, from the, there's no busy streets right next to us. It's a little ways away. And then we also had HOK and Riggs Fabrication come up with a concept of these very cool wooden banquettes that are seating kind of in and around the pavilion. So, tomorrow when it really opens, this is about makers. This is about performers. We'll have all of that in place and some food trucks, and really just begin a celebration.
So it's really a village when the people show up.
It really is. An event is the people that make it the event. We right now, it feels not like a lot of energy because there aren't anybody here. So.
Well, so what does it mean that this is a hub for open spaces? Explain the idea of the mm-hmm. village to me.
Well, the idea is that the performances happen here every weekend for free. And the performances then also tie to the fact that we have many of the installations in and around. Some are walkable from here, but others kind of can kickstart you off to see the other installations throughout the park. And so it's consistent. It's the one consistent part that you can come to every weekend, and you can get such a different because of the performing is all over the map in terms of who we have here.
So we're hearing some hammering, and I think it's coming from behind me, so I can't confirm this with my own eyes, but I think it's coming from the stage that's still being built.
Yes, we have stages being built. You know, we're always last minute. I'm going to be putting some signs up here in a minute.
Okay, and just, I'm going to stick with what's visible for another moment. Mm-hmm. There are, you called them banquettes.
Mm-hmm.
They're like these interlocking planks of wood that you can still smell, like they're very freshly cut.
Oh, yes.
Wood. And they've got benches kind of on the outside of them. But again, sort of like with the ribbons on the exterior of the pavilion, you can see through them. There's like a breezy,
A
breeziness about them.
Yeah, it's very open, right? There's little peaks of openness. But yeah, they're just a design, and then there'll be some light in them at night. And then we also built an O and an S for open spaces out of wood. And our hope is that everybody that enters the village over the 10 weeks ties on one of the ribbons to kind of build their own art project over the course of the 10 weekends, so that we can kind of see how many people are interacting. And we want it to be for the people. We want people to feel like they can immerse themselves into the activities that are taking place.
Well, so we've talked about what is visible, which is, as I said, by and large, the park itself. What about things that would not be visible to my eyes, but that you've been doing in this park to make it ready to be this space that it needs to be for this event, this pretty gigantic event?
Yeah. I can say that the what we feel is people have probably been here for Ethnic Enrichment Fest a week ago. And, here we're really trying to highlight the beautiful park itself. So other than some activities that you'll see and some people that are bringing in their projects that will help guide you, you're really looking at it. There's not going to be a lot of additional equipment brought in for anything other than the performers and the ways to go walk throughout the park and see the different things.
So as you've kind of hinted, being out in the open like this with the unpredictability of weather, and then there's still the unpredictability of how people will actually behave when they get here for
That's right.
event, you have your idea of what people are going to do, but
usually
with events, that's not quite what you imagine.
No.
So you have to be pretty nimble. How do you stay nimble and also keep things running?
Well, that's our motto. Let's be flexible. This whole project has been about flexibility, altering the site 3 times, in fact, and also just seeing how is it going to work the first weekend. We have people that are helping with parking. We have volunteers, but we know each weekend as people start to understand it and start to really hear about it, or maybe there's just a really popular act, we're going to just have to be nimble and flexible in terms of what we're going to bring in for security, if we need to add parking, and all of that.
Well, hang on with me. Laura Spencer is here with me now. She's one of our arts reporters at KCUR. And Laura, the ambition here is incredible.
It is. Yeah, I was just talking to my colleague CJ Janovi this morning about if we could think of any other initiatives locally that were similar, and we couldn't really think of anything. I mean, I think there have been some large building projects like the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts, where you felt like the arts community was really gearing up. But something like this that's spread across the metro area with local, national, international artists, visual arts, performing arts is kind of a bigger endeavor than I think we've seen before.
So you do consider this new territory for Kansas City?
Yeah, I do. And I think that we've been doing a lot of planning at the radio station. And so now I think we're kind of diving into individual artists and their projects and kind of looking into performing artists and what it will actually be.
What are artists saying about open spaces within the local arts community?
Well, I think that, and I've talked to Dan Cameron about this before, I think that
the executive director,
the curator of open spaces, he reached out a lot to local artists, but I think there were some artists in Kansas City at first who weren't quite sure what this would be. And so there are about, and Kelly might have the exact number, but about a third of the visual artists as part of the exhibition who are from Kansas City. So I think that Dan Cameron made a really deliberate effort to reach out to artists in Kansas and Missouri to be part of this project.
But there are also national and international artists on the roster too, pretty big names.
That's right. Yeah, I think that if you look through some of the names, a lot of them will be familiar, like Nick Cave and Brad Kallhammer, folks who have some ties to Kansas City. Nick Cave in particular, who studied at the Kansas City Art Institute, but also you've seen their work at the Nerman, or you've seen their work at the Nelson, and so, or you've seen them in other places around the country. So I think there is a lot of their prestige because these artists are very well known.
What are you hearing from people out in the community who aren't necessarily artists, just people who would maybe want to come to some of these events and exhibits?
Well, I've heard kind of a mix of things. People who are still not quite sure what open spaces is. You know, I think that it's such a big initiative. I think there are a lot of people who are still kind of getting a handle on, you know, what it's all about.
And I will include myself in that, despite the fact that I've done numerous interviews about it. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it.
Yeah, we wrote a story that was published yesterday, just a little bit about how people could navigate this. I think that having big projects here in Kansas City, like the Kansas City Fringe Festival, where you have to be kind of deliberate about what you're going to see and what you're going to do. It kind of took that approach with open spaces about how people could map things out, because I think that it's over a 2-month period of time, so which seems like a long time, but you're going to need to map out a little bit about what you want to see and who you want to see, just to make sure that things don't go by and that you don't miss them.
Yeah, and since it's all over town, you can't just show up somewhere and see what you see.
Right, exactly. Although it's interesting because I was driving around this morning through the River Market and downtown and the Crossroads, and there is going to be this element of people who won't be familiar with open spaces who will just experience some of these visual artworks, and then others who will be very deliberate about, I'm going to Haw in the West Bottoms, or they'll be very deliberate about where they want to go to see things. So there's going to be a wide range of experiences.
Does the village look about how you pictured it?
No, but I think that I think what's interesting is that it's like any other exhibition where we're seeing kind of the behind the scenes at this point. You know, opening day is not till tomorrow. So I think that we're still seeing that sense of there are all kinds of people who are at work making this happen. And so I'll be back over the weekend and when it's officially open. So,
well, we are going to talk to you both in a minute about what you're looking forward to most, but we've got the mayor with us now, the mayor of Kansas City, Sly James. He's on the phone, so we're going to chat with him for a second. Sly James, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I can't complain. It doesn't do any good at all.
Well, okay, so this whole open spaces thing actually kind of started as part of your cultural plan for the city. You wanted a festival of serious magnitude for Kansas City. Can you tell me about that?
Sure. Once elected, and knowing the interest that Mike Burke, my opponent and friend, has in the arts along with my own, I had talked to him over a period of time about what we needed to do in order to really try to add what we could to boost our arts community and cultural community forward. So I asked him to chair a task force on the arts, which lasted a little over a year or so. And I told him that one of the things that I would like for them to explore is a festival of longer than one day, a weekend or a period of time, where there were different genres of art and expression that were used, and that it'd be citywide. And so that was the baseline. And then Susan Gordon and Scott Francis and their open spaces concept came about, and there was a melding of the minds, so to speak. And so the things were combined. So I think what we've got now is the first iteration of what our plans could be. I think we're looking at every other year doing something significant like this, but this is the first iteration.
It's a lot to take on every couple of years.
Yeah, it is, but it's also something that, as we learn from this one, I think you build in some knowledge bases and avoidance techniques of issues that maybe could have been avoided on the second time that you didn't even know about the first time. But it's the type of thing where we have such a artistic and cultural community, and it's such a great part of our economy, and it's also an opportunity to bring neighbors and neighborhoods together, that is something that we're going to try and see if we can pull off.
Well, the SWOPE part piece of it, I understand that also was there from the beginning, that you specifically wanted to do something here.
Well, I think that it's always good to get out of the areas where everybody just concentrates and thinks of this is where art is. You know, I mean, it's easy to go to the Nelson, it's easy to go to the Plaza, it's easy to go to the Brookside Art Fair. All of those things are well known. But there's a lot more to the city than that. And I think that one of the things that I was looking at SWOPE Park is it's a huge gathering place It's either the first or second largest inner city park in the country. And it's a place where I think different neighborhoods abut. And it's a place where different neighborhoods, different people, different demographics can meet. It's the home of the international festival that we have, where people from all countries get together. And I thought it was a fitting idea that we use Swope Park to bring people of all stripes and ages and neighborhoods together around art. So it's a perfect place. It's in the middle of the city. Why not?
What's it like for you to see it coming together years after that task force was started on what Kansas City's artists need, and this is the thing, this is what's happening?
Well, for me, it's exciting, and it's very pleasurable to see a collaborative effort involving so many people, so many different artists, local artists, artists from around the world, different types of people coming together in order to produce this. All of us holding our fingers praying that it's going to work out as well as we expect it to. It is exactly what I expect out of Kansas City, and I think this is exactly the type of thing that Kansas City needs to take another step higher on the world and national profile list. We deserve to be seen, and this is one way for us to be seen by a lot of people who had no idea about what Kansas City was about and who we are here.
And I just want to say, there are reporters from national arts magazines who are here to witness this, to tell people about it, and that's exciting. There's also a lot on the line, I guess you could say, but Mayor Sly James, I want to tell you, this lineup is intense. It's huge, and it's got really impressive people on it. Is there someone you consider just a huge get, like a performance or installation that you personally are dying to see?
There's so many different artists that are involved that I'm really looking forward to see. But if I'm going to be honest, I cannot wait to see Janelle Monáe, local girl, very high profile. I think has a message, and I think from what I know, wants to be more engaged in some way than simply performing on the night of her performance. I think she wants some access to kids and to people to have a conversation about the things that she believes are important. Beyond that, there are a number of people that I'd like to see here. I'm definitely a big music fan. I'm kind of looking forward to tracking down Sean Bitter's sculptures out in the park. There's some others. I'm trying to remember names here. I've got so many of them that I can look at.
What is it about Sean Bitter's you're excited about?
I'm going to try to figure out what the aluminum rocks say. They're painted with symbols. And you have to walk the entire trail to get to the end before you know what it said. So I'm kind of curious to see what that was all about.
There's a puzzle you're ready to decode.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I don't think that we can go away without looking at Nick Cave's exhibit over at the Hope Center that he's going to be putting in over there. Nick Cave is a tremendous locally trained artist
Mayor James, you still there? I think maybe we lost the mayor, but sadly, that really deprives us of is the chance for us to say goodbye to each other, because that's what I was about to do anyway. So, Sly James, if you can hear me, goodbye, and thank you for giving us your time today, and congratulations on a lot of hard work coming to fruition. I want to turn back to Laura Spencer and Kelly O'Neill Wenzel of Open Spaces. Laura Spencer, is there, what I just asked Sly James, basically, is there a single event or project or moment coming up that you are just really looking forward to?
I think there's a lot to look forward to, and I think that I haven't followed my own advice about making a plan, so I need to kind of look carefully through the book. But I'm interested in kind of exploring Swope Park in a new way. You know, I've been through Swope Park many times, Ethnic Enrichment Festival and Starlight, but really kind of digging into some of these little spaces that I haven't been into, the trails, and I think it in some ways Open Spaces will be a way to kind of re-experience areas of town.
Open the space for
open spaces of places that you're familiar with, but seeing it in a different way.
And Kelly, what about you?
Well, you know what I'm really interested in, because I'm a little bit more like the mayor in the terms of the performing angle, because that's a lot of what I produce. So obviously I'm a big fan of, I can't wait to see the Roots personally, but on Friday night. But I'm excited to take my kids. I have kind of mapped out 10 weekends that we literally are going to go and explore a couple each weekend. And I have a 15-year-old down to a 10-year-old. So I think it's just giving them the education.
Well, Kelly O'Neill Wenzel, Laura Spencer, thank you both so much. It's been great talking with you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gina.
Central Standard is broadcasting live from Swope Park. The ambitious Open Spaces Arts Festival kicks off here tomorrow with tons of artists doing installations, performances, exhibits all over the city. Coming up, those in the know are going to help us decide what to see, because there is a ridiculous amount of stuff to choose from. Not a bad problem to have. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stay tuned. We're back, broadcasting live from Swope Park, where the Open Spaces Arts Festival is setting up shop for a 10-week stretch. I'm Gina Kaufman, and now we're going to chat with a rotating cast of experts about the highlights, who and what to look out for as you plan your itinerary. Let's start with Libby Hansen. She has a blog called Proust Eats a Sandwich, and she contributes to KCUR.org from time to time as well. Hi, Libby.
Hi, good morning.
So what are you looking forward to just overall? Not necessarily a particular act, but just with the whole idea of this festival?
Well, I like the way they've divided it up into neighborhoods, so that there might be something involved with the festival right out your back door, but it also gives you an opportunity to go to a neighborhood that's outside of your routine. And not only, I mean, you would go to experience the performance or the art or something, but also just get to know a different neighborhood in Kansas City.
That's really cool. So you did a preview tour.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it.
Well, it was cool, I guess. Dan Cameron took a group of people around to a lot of the different sites. I wasn't able to stay for the whole thing, but we went up into, there's a space in Linwood that has an installation I think we'll talk about later, and then Westwood Park right there on State Line. KCAI, Kemper has an exhibit, and then some of the other artists are also represented in the Kemper.
When we say the artists, what we're talking about is that they are creating things for this event. It's not like an exhibit that brings in existing work or something like that.
In most cases, yeah. I think these are specifically created for either a location or pieces are brought together specifically for open spaces.
So let's get a little specific about what you are excited about. Who are the artists, or what are the projects that are really like intriguing you?
Well, when I first looked at this lineup, I was kind of astounded, because a lot of the visiting artists, particularly, are worldwide, international, you know, classical, contemporary, and we get that fairly often in Kansas City, but this many groups in this short amount of time is incredible.
Can you give a couple of examples of a national or international scale artist coming here who is just like, whoa?
Yeah. The Bang on a Can All-Stars is going to collaborate with Kansas City Chorale on Julia Wolf's Pulitzer Prize winning Anthracite Fields, which is an oratorio about, I think, coal mining. But it's a really powerful and beautiful piece that's kind of has to be experienced to be believed, because it's just really moving.
Can you tell me more about the people and groups you just named?
Sure.
A lot of people might not know what a big deal those are.
Yeah, okay. So Bang on a Can is a composer collective out of New York. And then they have gathered together to promote their own music, and they play a lot. They've been together for decades, and just incredible, incredible diversity in styles, and just really changing classical contemporary music. And then Kansas City Chorale is our hometown chorale, one of many amazing choral groups we have in town, and they won the Grammy Award for Contemporary Music a few years ago. So it's a really interesting collaboration of sort of powerhouses nationally and locally.
Then what else are you looking forward to?
One group that I'm excited about is Daka Braka, which is a quartet from Ukraine that does a mix of folk music and sort of contemporary takes on folk music. And they have a whole look. They wear like folk, Ukrainian traditional folk garments, but they have a really interesting aesthetic where they're pulling in drones and they're pulling in different stylistic elements to create this really unique mishmash of styles. They're another one. They're huge on their PR side. So they've got tons of things on the internet, tons of great videos. And it's one of those where you watch all these videos and you're like, oh, is the show going to be just the same as these videos? And they came to Johnson County Community College a few years ago, and it was just an incredible statement of what you can do with your traditions. So I'm excited about them. And I like that pretty much weekly, there's going to be like a big band, a Kansas City big band. So I think it starts out with Kansas City Jazz Orchestra, and the next week is People's Liberation Big Band, and then the Marcus Lewis Big Band, and a few other groups that are coming in. And that's an exciting, like, taking this big band tradition and seeing the different ways that it's evolved in Kansas City. So I was really excited to see that was brought into the festival.
Just quickly, what are your thoughts about the big band and its relationship with Kansas City?
I mean, musically, the big band tradition put us on the map. You know, it came out of the battle bands and this tradition, and a lot of the people who sort of made it big in Kansas City or touring in the region were then the people who were able to go out to New York and make an even bigger splash in Chicago and stuff like that. And it's a tradition that Kansas City has kept alive for 90 years now. But at the same time, it's morphed. So you have people like the People's Liberation Big Band who are doing really experimental things, and then the Marcus Lewis Big Band, which is doing, to a certain extent, also experimental, but they're fusing hip-hop and rap and all these other musical ideas in with this traditional, 16-piece brass saxophone rhythm section conglomeration.
Cool. Well, what else?
What else? Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I'm really excited about some of the walking tours. Karen McCoy is a professor, I think, in sculpture at KCAI, and Kansas City Art Institute, and she is leading, I think every Saturday of the festival, she's leading a sound and sight tour where you take a walk and you listen to the environment, and it's sort of a guided experience. And so that's very exciting. I'm going to go on one of those walks. And then similarly, it's not guided, but Sean Bitters has created some sculptures that he's placed along one of the trails in Swope Park, and that'll be exciting. One of the things I think is really cool about this whole thing is that it's like discovery. There's a lot of discovery. The musical acts on the weekend, they're side by side and they're very different. So you can come for something you're familiar with and stay for something you're not familiar with and experience something completely new. And since the village concerts are free, you know, no harm, no foul. So if you don't like it, you can leave, and if you love it, you can stay for more.
I'm Gina Kaufman talking with Libby Hansen, one of our arts reporters at KCUR Central Standard. She's a freelancer for us and for some other folks around town. And we're talking about the Open Spaces Arts Festival that's starting this weekend here in Swope Park. We're broadcasting live from Swope Park, where it's all kind of centered, but the whole thing is happening all over town. And Libby, before we turn to our next commentator, you're also looking forward to one other thing involving Nick Cave. Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, I was really happy that was part of the preview that I went on yesterday. And then, so Nick Cave is an artist who's done a lot of different things, sculpture and all sorts of multimedia things. So what he has done is has taken an old abandoned church called the Hope Center. It's on Linwood Boulevard. And he has created this video installation that's broadcast on every wall of this space. And there's no pews, so there's even video on the ground. And, you know, I went in not really expecting anything, didn't know anything about it other than I recognized the name of the artist. And it's this really fast, there's a musical element too, and it's sort of, it starts slow and then the video sort of morphs and gets kaleidoscopic and it's all around you. And so you just get immersed in this sound and sight that has these evolutions and these rises and falls of activity. So you can really get into it. And then he starts like a whole new track of video. And it was really powerful. And since I was with a tour, we couldn't stay for very long, but I really hope that I have a chance to go back and just sit with the piece for an extended amount of time. It's also like, it's just, as far as I can understand, it's just open.
It's
like
in a church.
It's in a church. I think it's like Tuesday through Sunday or something, like during the day. I think you can just go and experience it. And it's in a neighborhood that's outside of my usual routine. So getting a chance to go and experience that was really cool.
Well, let's turn to Kemet Coleman. He's a musician in Kansas City. He's with the Fantastics, with a PH, and he's involved with a project bringing artists to truce. He's also been involved in the Open Spaces marketing team, but we are talking to him as a guy who's deep into the art and music communities here in town. Hi, Kemet.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. You are also intrigued by the Nick Cave project.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued because the church that that the piece is in is a church that I went to, not frequently, but as a child. My father was a preacher, so I would definitely go to all the East Side churches. And it was just cool to experience that part of town in such a artistic and beautiful sense. It almost made me emotional. I walked in, and I stood there for about 10 minutes. I didn't even move. I didn't even realize I stood there for 10 minutes, but I was just that absorbed with the power of that piece that I just had to stop. It was beautiful.
What was it like to go to a familiar space from your own life with people who were experiencing it this way for the first time?
Well, it was a very... It almost made me realize where I am in my life. That's how powerful it was. And I was there basically with Nick Cave, and it was just us two there.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was a very, very moving experience.
Wait, you've got to tell me more about this.
Yeah.
He is a big deal in the art
sure,
world,
yeah.
Far beyond Kansas City, though he did train here.
Absolutely, yeah, and he's from Missouri. I think he's from Jeff City, I hope I'm not getting that wrong, but... it was just cool to see that come. I was just happy that something like this came full circle in Missouri for him, too. I just think it's really cool just going down Linwood, which is where the church is. And I pass it every day, or not every day, but very often because I go to the YMCA on Linwood. And, you know, I always noticed how someone has tried to do something to preserve this church in their own way. You know, whether it was the air conditioner that was, you know, two stories high. But just seeing the inside in such a beautiful artistic way was just so amazing.
So this is the Nick Cave project at a church on Linwood.
It's called High Dive. Yes.
What else are you especially looking forward to?
Well, I'm also looking forward to, which was previously mentioned, the Marcus Lewis Big Band. I'm actually in that project as the alter. There's an alter ego to that band called Brass and Bougie. And we actually just released the album today, and it's the number one album, the number one jazz album in the world right now.
Whoa, congratulations.
Yeah, totally. Thank you. So October 13th is when that's happening at the weekend, which is also where I'm excited to see Janelle Monáe and the Roots. You know, being on the marketing team for Open Spaces was cool because when it was announced that the Roots were under consideration, I basically... lost my stuff.
Well, okay, wait, I want to stop you here because we've talked a bit about Janelle Monáe.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure a lot of our listeners already knew who she was, but Mayor Sly James talked about being excited about her and why he was excited. But the Roots have come up, but we haven't heard about them.
Yeah.
Why are you... What is it about the Roots that made you lose your stuff?
The Roots... I have such a special relationship with the Roots because, one, Black Thought, who's the leader of the Roots, actually follows me on Twitter, and we... you know, communicate from time to time. In fact, for Open Spaces, we communicated. So that's cool. And Black Thought is in my top five of rappers of all time, period.
But wait, pretend someone's never heard The Roots.
Okay,
why,
so The Roots,
why
the,
be excited?
The Roots is a legendary hip-hop band. So hip-hop bands, when they were around, were very rare. Now we've got bands like The Fantastic. Sorry, I'm plugging myself so much right now. But anyway, The Roots is a hip-hop band from Philadelphia led by Black Thought, who's one of the greatest, in my opinion, one of the best lyricists of all time. And so they haven't come to Kansas City, the Kansas City area, since 1996, I think. And I think it was in Lawrence, Kansas. And so this is exciting. This is the first time in almost in over 20 years, or I hope my math is right, that they're coming to town. And they are actually the house band for Jimmy Fallon, the late show with Jimmy Fallon. So if you've ever seen that show, that is that band. So that's why that's exciting. And at Starlight Theater, come on. That's going to be so cool.
So Kemet Coleman, tell me about a couple more things you're really excited about in Open Spaces.
Yeah, I'm excited about just this, just the mashups that are happening. One in particular is the Blue River Road Investigators. A really cool group of guys that have basically taken helm at the Blue River Road, which has been recently decommissioned, and are doing tours of that area, kind of talking about its nuances and its relationship with the area. That's going to be really cool. They've made like jackets and all kind of marketing materials for this. So it's really cool to see them dive in. Otherwise, I'm really fascinated by The Resonator, which is Nevin Aladag's giant instrument that she's working with Ingrain Studios here in Kansas City to help do. And
it's a giant instrument.
It's
Explain
a giant
that
instrument.
More.
Yeah. So I think there's four drums. You'll have to go on Open Spaces Facebook and Instagram to see all of it. But basically, there's drums attached to it. There's chimes at the base of it. And it's a giant wooden life-size instrument that will live in the Jazz Museum and will be played by a musician. So you can go check it out during Open Spaces.
So there's someone you have mentioned being excited about who I am also excited about, hoping to talk to her at some point during the course of this thing, Joyce Scott.
Yes, Joyce Scott was, I got to go on a 3-hour experience with Joyce Scott. We started by eating breakfast and then gradually went to mimosas. And then that's when it got interesting. And she is so fascinating. She's from Baltimore. An artist that is doing her her sculpture is at Union Station, and it's a sculpture of Harriet Tubman. And God, how powerful was it, not only to be there when she chose that destination, but to actually see the sculpture of Harriet Tubman at Union Station, you know, with the Underground Railroad connection with literally the railroad. So that's really cool.
What was her connection? What connected her with Union Station? What was it that she felt about that spot?
Well, I think the juxtaposition was ideal for her because she specializes in showcasing stereotypes in a very, very dynamic way. And so there is obviously an unspoken nuance there between, you know, slavery and this freedom of the railroads and the development of this country. I think that juxtaposition was ideal for her, and just the power of that edifice, you know, just Union Station and all its glory being restored and saved over the years. That history was great for her, too.
Kemet and Libby, I just quickly, my husband may not be thrilled that I'm saying this right now, but I am married to a just total music nerd who studied at the conservatory. He loves jazz, and he says that whoever booked the music for Open Spaces totally knows what nerds like him like. Any comment on that?
I think embracing your nerdery is a valuable act of self-discovery.
There you
knowing
go,
what
Alex.
You like. Just know what you like. And I think that's the thing. It's like I'm not part of the PR team, but there is something for everybody at this festival, and there's something to discover.
Well, we are going to pick back up with more comments in just a second. We've got Kemet Coleman and Libby Hansen. Thank you both so much for talking to us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're going to get more highlights on the visual side in just a minute. I'm Gina Kaufman, and KCUR Central Standard is broadcasting live from Swope Park, where the Open Spaces Arts Festival is putting the finishing touches on the village. That'll be the hub of this thing until October. And we're finding out what's checking out, so stay tuned. Welcome back to the Open Spaces Village in Swope Park. I'm Gina Kaufman, and KCUR Central Standard is here in the park while this monumental arts festival gets ready to begin. We've heard about the setting here for the festival. We've gotten recommendations from two of what I'll call right now our Central Standard regulars about what to catch on a lineup that is seriously insane with hundreds of options. Let's get another perspective. Ann Kniggendorf writes about art at KCUR.org as well. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Gina.
So you've already started interviewing artists about their open spaces projects, right?
Right. I've spoken to three so far.
Yeah. So, okay, let's start with David Hansen.
All right. Well, one of the things that really stands out from having spoken with David was his comment that that this festival is all about interacting with art. And so he pointed out that as we interact with the art, will tell different stories. So there might be lots and lots of stories associated with one installation. And so in David's case, he is a playwright, and he's the founder of Midwest Dramatist Guild. And he has a play, and it's a play that he's calling an installation. It's going to take place right here in Swope Park at the Battle of Westport Museum. There are three spots around the museum. And his play is immersive theater. A lot of people probably think of immersive theater, if they know the term at all, as being something like murder mystery dinner theater.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls what he's doing an espionage thriller, not quite murder mystery. But he has this staged so that there will be 2 to 4 people on each stage, 3 stages, and the audience will come in. It's a 70 to 90 minute experience, he said. And of the 3 different audiences, each one will have a slightly different experience with the same story. So he'll allow about 20 to 30 audience members in each one. They'll watch this play, and then at the end he wants to round them all up, and each group is color-coded, and so in order to get the entire story, they have to talk to each other at the end.
So they are, wow, okay, so that's like people who dread icebreakers probably don't want to go to this.
Well, there are 2 different thoughts about
talking to strangers,
right.
That kind of thing.
Well, there are a couple different thoughts about how he'll divide up the audience. One is that as they walk in, as they approach, he'll say, okay, which group do you want to be in? But they don't know, so it doesn't really matter. The other thought is that they'll be counted off 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And then, so you might be with your friend or your mom, whoever, and that person will end up in a different group. And you won't see the same show. So then at the end, when they all come back together for the discussion part, you can go straight to your friend. And that will help a little bit, I think, because then people will overhear what's going on and they'll want to jump in.
Well, so that's... what is the name of this play again by David Hansen?
This is called Bird in the Hand, and it's something that he presented at Fringe in 2015 at Union Station. It was presented up on the balconies. And it's a thing about... this woman who figured out an algorithm that can break any code in the world. And so the Russians want it, and her niece gets kidnapped, and he thought it would be ideal for this park because it is a park, and because when you're dealing with agents and there are secrets and exchanges and kidnaps, you probably want to go to a park to protect your identity.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Dylan Mortimer. I can kind of, from here, almost see his pink tree.
His pink bronchial tree. Yeah, he told me that Dylan Mortimer is a regular on the Kansas City arts scene, though he has just moved to Brooklyn with his family, for probably temporary. And he had cystic fibrosis growing up, and spent his life until he was about 37 not being able to really breathe. And so he said that he tried to keep that out of his art, but when his health deteriorated about 2 years ago, he couldn't keep it out of his art anymore. So he started painting and designing metal lungs. So it got really lung-oriented as his health failed.
I would say it's some of, although he had tried to resist doing that for so long, it's some of the most beautiful stuff he's ever done.
Yeah, it's very cool. And so when he was approached by Dan Cameron, who was one of his teachers from an art school in New York, about putting an installation in Swope Park, he thought bronchial tree. So he searched for a dead tree for a few months, finally found...
Why a dead tree?
Well, because his... when he had his transplant a year and a half ago...
A lung transplant.
A lung transplant, yes. A year and a half ago, all his bronchial... His bronchial tree was dead and cut to add in the new lungs. And so he wanted to show something dead suddenly being alive again and pink and healthy. And so he found this tree in Swope Park and he painted it pink and covered it in glitter and added a little green for what he says is phlegm. Because that's what he lived with for so many years.
But we could imagine it as a rebirth if we wanted.
You could. Rebirth, sure. And so, you know, as people interact with that, too, he thinks that it'll be like a selfie destination. You know, and so people will make their own story about this pink tree also. He doesn't know if it'll be labeled or there'll be any kind of story, you know, on a plaque so that people even know what it is.
That's Dylan Mortimer's bronchial tree, which is just right by this pavilion. And also, have you already talked to Randy Regeer?
I have.
A Wichita artist. Or is he still in Wichita?
No, he was in Oregon, actually, and he's just moved back here to KCK, like, in the past month. So I'm really excited about Randy Regeer's work. He, you know, I cover art, but I also cover books. And so I've got to say that fiction is my favorite art form. No offense to any of this art, but Randy Regeer makes his art fiction. And that's not the same as having a painting that is of a scene that never ever happened, because that's kind of a fiction too. But what Randy does is he's created an object that never existed. He created a scooter from the Cold War. It's a scooter that would be, it has a civil defense symbol on the side, and it's something that would, he thinks, have helped someone escape after a nuclear blast. It could go really, really fast, he said. So it's a full-size scooter that really works. He's also an auto mechanic. And the really funny thing about this is that Dana Gibson gave him a spot at River Market Antiques, gave him the whole front window. So it's in an antique store. He's got this scooter that never existed, but he's pretending, he's saying, let's pretend it did exist. So it's a little bit like historical fiction, but it's real, and it's a real object. And he's asking us to kind of use our collective memories and now file his scooter in the same spot in our minds as all the propaganda posters about fallout shelters, about needing canned water, all this stuff to survive.
Do we get to ride the scooter?
He said that would be a very bad idea, though you could. But right now it's in the River Market Antiques building, and his things will also be at KCAI Crossroads and the Toy and Miniature Museum, because one of the parts about putting this in our collective memory, this crazy scooter, is that he also created a toy model of it, or a toy of it, that'll be in the Toy and Miniature Museum. It looks exactly like the big scooter. And he created a model kit as if kids long ago could have bought a model of this scooter and made it themselves at home.
Thinking about this whole Open Spaces Festival, the thing I personally am most excited about is seeing Kansas City sites and locations through new eyes with all the national and international artists bringing in to work on site-specific projects in places like Swope Park. What are you most excited about?
Well, I've got to say, I mean, I just kind of blew that because I'm most excited about Randy Regeer's work, just to see that, you know, he lived away for a long time. He lived in Oregon, he lived in Maine, but this is where he wants to call home. And so he's moved back here and is now really, I think, gracing our city with these his very odd brand of art that is so much about giving us, almost like trying to change our memories in a really odd way and inserting this kind of fiction into our collective memories, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, it makes sense. Ann Knickendorf, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Libby Hansen, thank you. And Kemet Coleman of the Fantastic, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
And that concludes our live broadcast from Swope Park. We've been talking about the Open Spaces Arts Festival that kicks off here tomorrow with a grand opening and ribbon cutting starting here at the park at 11:30 in the morning. You can get the details at openspaceskc.com. If you missed anything from today's show, go to kcur.org/centralstandard and get caught up. That's where we keep all our past shows too, kcur.org/centralstandard. And yesterday's conversation about being a pedestrian here in town was especially lively, so don't miss that one. KCUR's Central Standard is produced by a stellar, hardworking team all around me today at this picnic table. Melody Rowell, Kathleen Pointer, Coy Duggar, Suzanne Hogan, and Sylvia Maria Gross. We've had lots of help on today's show, more people than I have time to thank, but I want to give a shout out to Chris Pruitt and Laura Spencer. Our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs, and I'm Gina Kaufman. Have a great weekend.